B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
And welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Thursday, April 25th, 2019. Happy Avengers Day. Your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WWKB 1520 in Buffalo and ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, and 1200 AM in Syracuse, New York. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Blizzard Games has announced their new workshop mode for Overwatch. We'll talk about what it could mean for their esports scene. Plus, we'll take a look ahead to the new games coming out in May. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Blizzard revealed this week that, unsurprisingly, the Overwatch World Cup will be returning in 2019.
Yep.
Unlike previous years, the entirety of the World Cup will take place at BlizzCon this year, set across three stages. Also new this year will be a single elimination tournament open to any recognized national team. The winner of that tournament will be guaranteed one of the open qualifier slots.
Good, I like this. I like the fact that BlizzCon just becomes the
World
venue
Cup
for the World Cup.
Absolutely.
I think that's really awesome. I think it's cool to kind of not necessarily scale it down in terms of scope, but scale it down in terms of time. Another thing is any country now, if you could put a team together, you can compete. I think that also is very awesome.
Well, Blizzard will pay for that team's travel if they're ranked top 10. Otherwise, the country is responsible for getting them there.
Yeah. That's still a very cool idea.
It is.
I like
it definitely is.
It's very inclusive. And I like that making an esports scene a little bit more inclusive, especially international inclusivity, is important and very cool. So,
Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is continuing to be a workhorse for the Nintendo Switch. It has now moved over 14 million units, which is especially impressive considering that the Switch has sold about 33 million units. That means that roughly 42% of people who own a Switch own Smash Ultimate.
Does that seem a little bit low, percentage-wise?
I think that's insanely high.
Listen, 14 million units is a lot, but I'm saying, like, I would think that the overlap from Switch owners to the owners of Ultimate would be in the 60s.
Any game that did not come packaged with the system that has a over like 30% saturation rate on the platform is absurd.
I look at that number and I just think back to like the N64 era, where despite how many well-known games there were, I was frequently the only one in my friend group who owned it, or one of my friends would have a game that no one else had. Insane to me.
I'm just saying, it feels like, you know, if you own a Switch and you don't own Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, like, what are you doing with your life?
I get that to that point, but I just know that there are tons of people out there who don't own it. Like,
they should.
Some major controversy in the LMS region of League of Legends as the team Dragon Gate has been removed from the league. Their coach, manager, owner, and jungler have all been caught in a match-fixing scandal that saw the team purposely throwing games.
Wow.
The owner has been banned from affiliating with a team in a Riot-sanctioned game, while the jungler of the team was handed an 18-month suspension. The coach and manager of the team were each given a 12-month suspension for their part.
Holy your fault, idiot.
Wow.
That's nuts. Apparently this broke when the top laner was approached about throwing matches near the end of the season for like $750 a match or something like that. They were already out of it at that point. He refused and was subsequently replaced with the backup player at that point.
Wow, did he whistleblow?
Doesn't really say who was the whistleblower, but you can guess that probably.
I mean, but still, something like match fixing. And again, we talk about the infrastructure for esports. We talk about unionizing these athletes. We talk about all this stuff. Having that back end stuff stops this kind of stuff from happening.
And it's so important too, because I mean, you know, we've seen how unscrupulous people who want to bet on matches like this will be when not given any oversight.
Well, and I mean, good on Riot Games, the proper response. This team is removed. This owner is banned lifetime, and the people who were involved in it have a suspension, kind of weighing on how much they were involved.
And the last thing about it is, this also sucks, because think about all the support staff and back end staff that now have to look for new jobs because these clowns want to cheat.
Yep. Yeah. Full Sail University is set to open their new $6 million esports arena next month. Called
yes.
The Fortress, the arena is billed as the largest esports facility on a college campus and can seat 500 attendees in addition to 100
that
players.
That is huge.
That's awesome.
I love the name of this arena.
The Fortress.
I love it. It's phenomenal. Congratulations to Full Sail. And we're
looking forward to heading there at some point.
Yeah,
sure,
absolutely. Hopefully we will be able to check out this facility because
Hint, Full Sail University.
Nudge, nudge. That's right. Let's make that happen. But that, very cool. 500-seat is like, I think, perfect for a college campus. Yeah, absolutely.
World War Z is doing surprisingly well in its first week on the market. The game, based loosely off the 2013 movie of the same name, has already moved over 1 million units. In particular, the developer Saber Interactive is very pleased with the game's performance on PC. The Epic Store exclusive has already moved over 250,000 units on PC.
You know what? This is really cool. I'm happy that Days Gone is doing so well. Oh, wait.
Wait a minute.
Actually, you want to know what kind of concerns me a little bit for specifically Days Gone is, I don't know anything about that. I was going to pick it up.
Despite ongoing rumors that Nintendo is set to release new versions of the Switch, they've said they have no intention to unveil new hardware at E3 this year. Recent reports had them unveiling a new, cheaper version of the Switch for release by the end of June. This could still be the case, but it won't be revealed at E3, according to Nintendo. I don't know. We've been hearing reports on and off about, you know, new Switch hardware being unveiled for what it feels like 6 months now, and
yeah.
Nintendo just keeps saying, no, that's not what's happening. And at some point, you got to wonder, like, okay, so where are these reports coming from, or is Nintendo just lying, or...
Maybe it's... No, because that would be stupid. I would say maybe they're just trying to gin up some groundswell to get more people to buy Switches, but then that's counterproductive. Productive because people would just be waiting to get the new Switch.
It's just weird to get a point where the gaming media is so
adamantly
hearing reports and rumors of this happening, and for the company to just continuously say no, it's not.
Video game companies are the Russo brothers, and we shouldn't believe anything that they say because the trailers are all fake. And half the people we see in the announcements aren't even real.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they're putting out red herrings to fool people. I have no idea.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. Polygon put out a report this week talking about what the work situation at Epic looks like right now. Admits the ongoing development of Fortnite, it paints a picture of 70 to 100-hour work weeks and an immense pressure on staff.
Yeah, apparently Polygon's doing their best Kotaku impression and trying to
get
deeper in. Yeah, so, I mean, they're talking about 70 to 100-hour work weeks. It's the same thing we saw with Anthem and their crunch time and Red Dead Redemption 2, except that it's an ongoing game.
Both of those make sense because when you get time to launch, like to launch it, once crunch time is over, it's over.
Listen, I think it makes sense for games of that size and that scope. Fortnite does not have the scope. I understand it's ongoing development, but we've seen projects that have a way larger scope that are also ongoing development, thinking of MMOs, that don't require
that
70 to 100 hour work
weeks. Well, I mean, but at the same time, there is this big tournament going on where, you know, $100 million are on the line, and maybe they're putting some of that energy towards some of that, but
also,
this is not a good sign for
that. Dude, balancing only happens once. It doesn't have to happen based on how many people are playing your game. It only ever happens once, and it only happens in a developer situation. So once it leaves QA testing, I don't believe that you have to have a staff that large to be able to maintain a game the size of Fortnite.
Well, one of the things that we keep seeing too, that at least it came out in this report, was them mentioning that, you know, when something breaks, it's not like, you know, we go and we work on that and push off the other stuff we're going. We have to kind of do it in addition to what we're currently working on for the next patch cycle.
And I mean, listen, some amount of that makes sense. But unless your dev team is like 25 people, for a game the size of Fortnite, 70 to 100 hours just doesn't jive. I'm sorry, it doesn't. Let's consider what they do. They do skins, they do map changes, but that's about it. Come on, you got to think. Like, with a game like the size of an MMO, there's way more to pour through to make sure that that executes perfectly than there is with Fortnite.
I would be really curious to hear what an Epic dev, like, you know, has to say about, you know, their development cycle and what they have to work on. Because obviously, I mean, from the outside looking in, I can look at, you know, a Fortnite set of patch notes and wonder, okay, you know, how much dev time do that need? But obviously, they'd be able to give a little bit more insight about what's actually being worked on, you know, in the background. I'd be very curious to hear it. But getting a comment from Epic Games is, you know,
that's true.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
But think about how titanic of a success Fortnite has been, how they almost even lost that to Apex. Whatever it is that they're doing, I believe that it's probably something cultural and that the company is just pushing the devs.
So if that's the case, then this is another example, and history is replete with them. There has to be some sort of unionization going
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. That's the only conclusion that anyone can reach at this point. If a game the size and scope of Fortnite is still receiving 70 to 100 hour dev weeks,
right,
then what's to say that the next game that is on an even larger scale won't require more?
I mean, about Ashes of Creation coming out.
Yeah.
Like, that game, scope-wise, is humongous.
Right.
What's the crunch time going to look like for that? We've gotten to the point now where haven't you begun to lose hope in the idea of them ever unionizing?
In an industry with ridiculous standards, Epix is trying to up the bar.
Well, I think it's mostly insulting because of the overhead margins that Epic sees,
especially
because
Epic
of Fortnite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the money that should be going back to paying your people. That's the money that, instead of throwing $100 million tournaments, I know you guys have a statement you want to make, but that's four times larger than any other prize pool in esports history.
Right.
Instead, maybe take a fraction of that money and port it back towards
get
the people who are working
vacations
under your own roof.
Top the international by $1. Make that your prize pool.
There you go.
That's much of a statement, and it's funny as all hell.
By the way, you would have gotten the exact same amount of headlines by doing that, too. All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll take a look at the new games that are going to be released in May. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, Blizzard has revealed the new workshop mode for Overwatch. We'll discuss what it could mean for the esports scene. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Make sure you're following us on our officially partner Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got tons of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. That's over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. This week, Blizzard added their new workshop mode to the public test realm. The mode gives players tools to create and customize new game modes and make adjustments to characters. Robbie and Norris, I gotta ask you guys, what do you think this is gonna do for Overwatch?
At the very least, what this is gonna do for Overwatch is revitalize a lot of the player base that is starting to sort of get bored with the game or think that it's grown a little bit stale. This actually goes a lot further than what we've been able to do with custom game modes, where you can take some of the pre-existing rules and, you know, know, tinker around with them a little bit. This actually gives access to the players on PC and console, I should add, to some of like the source code itself. Specifically, Jeff put two guys named Dan and Keith, so thank you, Dan and Keith, in charge of doing this to basically come up with like an overlay that allowed players access to this so that you didn't have to necessarily be like a modder or anything like that. That anyone can kind of sit down with this and play around with it and tinker around with it. And I've already seen some really fascinating and cool things.
Yeah,
come out
I think
of this.
That's amazing because part of what, you know, has made PC gaming and esports by extension such a big thing is the modding community. The ability to be able to go into these games, mod them, create your own modes, and really express yourself creatively using that game as a backdrop. And I think this is a really, really interesting and also a really empowering move from Blizzard and from that Overwatch team. In order to say, hey guys, you guys are always talking mess about our game. We would like to see if you can do a better job.
And Blizzard has been one of those development companies that's really embraced their modding community and their homebrew community, much like Bethesda has. Mm-hmm. And in that way, I'm not surprised to see something like this coming out for Overwatch, although I guess it is kind of surprising to allow people that much access to the underpinnings of what's going on with the system, because you would think that that may give some people in the end a more competitive advantage when they take the knowledge that they've learned from tweaking things in this game mode to the regular competitive mode.
Now, in all fairness, though, that isn't necessarily a move that's unfamiliar to Blizzard. I mean, I'm thinking back to the map editor in StarCraft and Warcraft.
You're totally right.
They were the pioneers of making this move, and I mean, the entire MOBA genre,
Dota,
was born out of the Warcraft map editor. That's where it came from. I mean, my first real experience to doing things like that was Heroes Play in StarCraft, which was just a map where you would, like, they would always theme it after like Lord of the Rings or something like that. So you'd start off on a map and you'd get little like Frodo units, and then they'd eventually upgrade into something better.
So you said that there's ability for, you know, utilization on this for PC and console. Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of like, you know, like marketing or monetization that's coming along with any of this? Because, you know, you would think that that might be an opportunity for someone who has a lot of talent, who comes up with a great game mode, to possibly even market or monetize it.
No, not that I've seen, but I think it would behoove Blizzard to be able to look at that as an option.
Sure.
And also to be able to look at some of the talent that's coming out and say, you know, maybe this is our way of sort of subtly training up the next generation of devs for Overwatch, because the stuff that I've been seeing coming out of the workshop has been absolutely amazing.
Boy, they'd be really smart if they did that. I mean, again, Dota came out of the Warcraft 3 map editor. The Battle Royale genre came out of modding.
Counter-Strike.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's again, that would be no surprise coming out of Blizzard. I mean, when they were looking for their new head of World of Warcraft, if I recall, didn't they grab one of their endgame raiders to head up that team?
I remember a story, something along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, the guy who they got to run the more recent expansions came out of the raiding scene.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Central Texas, KZRI and KTON in Waco, Texas, as well as ESPN 97.5 in Houston and the Horn 104.9 in Austin, Texas. We're currently talking about Blizzard's new game mode for Overwatch. What are they calling this again? The workshop.
Just simple.
So what specifically what you can do is you can set up new rules and win conditions for games. You can make adjustments to character abilities and movements. You could even, if you wanted to, prototype a new hero in there. The one thing you can't make changes to are the maps themselves.
Yes.
And I'm assuming the reason for that is something to do with like players have to download like the new maps to try it out. It's probably a huge pain to do something like that.
Yeah.
Like, back in the day, you could do it in StarCraft because those maps were like a meg.
Right. Yeah.
Nowadays, that would be a little bit different. But I love this idea of being able to change a character's like movements and just tinkering around with that idea. I mean, have you guys seen any cool
stuff? Yes. So two things I've seen. One that was super cool is it's like an Iceman Silver Surfer type thing with Mei, where when ice is on the ground, She loses her like friction value drops all the way down, so she just slides everywhere. So
that's
she can consistently
really cool.
just draw ice on the ground and just move super fast. Mm-hmm. Another one I saw was a Widowmaker mode headshot only, but when you kill somebody, you teleport to the spot that you shot them at.
I had seen one where they did something similar with Roadhog and basically turned Roadhog's hook. It could also be used as a Widowmaker hook to get you around
to,
as well.
To pull
oh
you, to
wow,
pull you
as
everywhere.
Well. That's yeah. really cool. One of the other things that they're adding in with this is a debugging tool, which is called the Inspector, which is going to let you know why certain things are happening if you're trying to troubleshoot. So what it does,
that is probably the best thing about this, isn't that they just put out like a mod tool, is that they are able to make this so accessible to anyone. Like if you've never modded before, you can sit down and like kind of start, whether through trial and error, figure out how this works.
Yeah, and I mean, Nate, to go back to what you said, I think the biggest thing that Blizzard needs to do in this is recognize the talent that's going to rise to the surface in creating these things, right?
Absolutely.
When you see someone make a game mode that people are getting legitimately excited about, because you know we're going to start seeing those articles, hey, this guy just created a game mode in the workshop, come check it out. You know, we're going to start seeing those, and
oh man,
Blizzard needs
to
latch on to that.
Creations, you do that every month. Hey, Blizzard Overwatch feature creations, here you go. I think that's awesome. Somebody gonna mess around and make a new game mode for OWL.
And who's to say that they can't expand the workshop to include things like new maps over
yes.
time? You know what I mean? Like, if that's something that there clearly is talent out there that's willing to take the tools to be able to make it, if they're out there, you know, Blizzard would be smart to tap that
yeah,
talent.
Yeah, we have Omega Weltall in our chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp says, so, Blizzard is outsourcing level designers.
It's so much more than just the level designing, though. Like, this could actually go so far. And you really have to give this to Blizzard, because one of the biggest criticisms going against them right now is that when it comes to playing the game, you have quick play and you have comp, which half the time is just quick play anyhow. This is going to bring so many more people back into the fold. There's probably people who've never wanted to pick up Overwatch before that this type of thing incentivizes them to give
yeah.
it a try.
People who buy games just to break them.
And to that point, though, if, you know, the next big hero is maybe Blizzard does take an idea and borrows a hero.
There you go.
Maybe you credit the person who created it.
Maybe.
Send them a check or something.
Is,
I don't
is
know.
There something specifically that you two are looking to get out of this new game mode?
I definitely am looking forward to somebody making something so polished and so well done that Blizzard has no choice but to buy it from them.
Robbie?
Agreed. Perfectly. Yes, you said it perfectly.
All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll look ahead to the next month in gaming and check out what games are releasing in May. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight photos and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. As we move into May, it's time for us to take a look ahead to the new titles that are on the horizon. May is typically one of the slowest months for game releases, so if you can tell that I'm eating time talking slowly, that would be why. With E3 just around the corner, let's take a look at what's on the horizon.
All right, so we're going to start off on May the 7th, where we've got Puyo Puyo Champions coming to PC, PS4, Xbox, and Switch.
What, you don't like Dr.
I want this
Dr.
game.
Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine?
No.
You're a monster. I love this game.
I hate Puyo Puyo.
I can already see May is going to be the month to catch up on your backlog, guys.
Yeah, oh, my God.
What if you're like me?
I can't wait for this
game.
What
if you're like me and don't have a backlog? I'm just
you
SOL.
You spent thousands of dollars on your PS4 library. Don't tell me you don't have a backlog.
No, he's got you. He's got you dead to rights.
I've beaten them all.
I don't believe it. Lies.
Nope, I've beaten them all.
All right, May the 9th, we've got Life is Strange 2, episode number 3, Wastelands coming
to PC. Oh, well,
that's
why you're so happy about this month, also coming out on the best day of the year.
Let me guess, is May 9th your birthday?
Of course it is.
Oh, of course it is.
So it's the third episode in the series. By all accounts, it's great so far. If I'm honest with you, I'm waiting for it all to come out before I play it.
Really?
Dude. Okay, so
I'm shocked. I thought you would be, because you're a huge fan of Life is Strange. I thought you would be going chapter to chapter.
But I did that with Life is Strange 1, and it was a nightmare.
Really?
Because I finished chapter 3, and I had to wait for 4. I'm like, I can't do it again.
So what you're saying is you haven't been spoiled in episodes 1 or 2 yet.
I guess you could say that, yes.
Interesting.
You're not
interesting.
Wrong.
Better watch your back,
what
Joe?
Else do we have to look forward to, Joseph?
All right, on May 14th, we've got Rage 2 coming out for PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
I'm actually going to check this out.
Me too, actually.
Okay, can check it out.
Do we know if this is like a direct sequel from Rage 1, or do you think you can just jump right into Rage 2?
It's a direct sequel, but like only... like all
as far as Rage can have a sequel?
Like, all you need to know is that an asteroid hit Earth and everything is... Yes. Chaos, and that's
it. All right, cool.
In the same way that really? I guess Grand Theft Auto 4 was a sequel to 3, I guess.
Okay.
You're not playing it because it's a sequel.
A spiritual successor.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that there's going to be much carryover from the first Rage.
Also on May 14th, we've got A Plague Tale Innocence for PC, PS4, and Xbox. This is one that I had really had gone under my radar. I did not know very much about it.
I remember this game. Very much so. The young girl, and you have to... It's basically the whole thing is an escort mission. You have like no combat capabilities whatsoever.
It's an action-adventure type. Set during the plague, and you play as a girl protecting her younger brother after your family is killed.
Someone saw something like Grave of the Fireflies and goes, I want to turn that into a video game. Because I can tell you how this is going to end.
A little bit, because some of the plague doctors look a little bit like the Kuroki sprites from, what is that, Princess Mononoke.
Yeah.
This is not going to end well.
No, but here's the thing, is that this is animated like a game that came out on the Xbox 360. After watching the trailer, I was like, wow, it's one of those things where, like, when the body is in motion, the face is completely still.
Yeah.
They spent a lot of money on the rat physics.
They did,
because there's like swarms of rats and they move.
I was sold on this pretty easily, and now you guys have basically dissuaded me from playing it.
May 15th, we've got Technosphere Reload coming.
It's
for
a
PC.
Puzzle game. It's sort
a puzzle
of
platformer.
Like what's that ball where you're moving? Marble Madness.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like
I saw it. I'm like, oh, Katamari. Nope, it's not Katamari.
No, it's more like Marble Madness.
Yeah. May 16th, we've got Dark Future Blood Red States for the PC. It's an action strategy title that takes themes from Mad Max and Judge Dredd.
It looks
pretty
That is just a bunch of nouns put together.
Adjectives. It has a racing or car element to it,
yes,
too.
Yes, it does. You're playing it.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, what was it? Was that Twisted Metal, kind of?
A little bit. But yet time slows down, and it like has RPG. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
May 21st, we've got Team Sonic Racing. It's Sonic-themed Diddy Kong Racing or Mario Kart. If that's what you're looking for, you're gonna get.
Here we go.
Moving into May 21st, we've got the Resident Evil remake coming out on the Switch.
Yes,
I'm excited for that.
Are you gonna rebuy it?
Yes.
Really?
Really?
Okay.
It's a Resident Evil remake. It's not RE2.
Yeah.
Oh, fair. Okay, oh, okay. Fair. Yeah. Fair. Right. Fair. Okay. Right. Okay.
Also on May 21st, we've got Resident Evil 0 coming to the Switch.
Yes!
So that's pretty cool.
Why? Yes. Okay.
Also on May 21st, we've got Resident Evil 4 coming to
the
Switch.
Yes!
Capcom, what are you doing?
I'm going to buy them all.
I want RE4, actually.
RE4, yeah, no, RE4 would be really good for the Switch. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. We're currently going through the upcoming releases coming out in May, and I think we're up to May 21st.
Yeah, we're still on May 21st.
Yes.
Five Nights at Freddy's Help Wanted coming to PSVR. That's according to Scott, which means one of
so
two
it's
things.
Probably actually coming out like May 15th.
It's probably out now. That's what it probably means.
I just want to say,
by the time you're listening to this, it's probably out.
I just want to say thank the maker because you didn't say FNAF.
I did not. I didn't think you'd be happy if I did.
I'm really looking forward to this game.
Scott has said that the scope of this game has expanded so far from what it originally was, and he's very excited about
That's good.
May 23rd, we've got Pathologic 2 coming to PC. It's a survival horror game.
Lots of games dealing with plagues.
Yeah.
A lot of horror stuff this month, actually.
Yep. This is it's a psychological horror game. It's much like the original. It looked pretty cool when I checked it out.
So. Okay.
We'll see. May 28th, we've got Oxygen Not Included coming to PC.
This is actually like if you played Fallout Shelter.
I'm so glad you said that. That's what I drew the comparison
to. It's like an advanced version of Lemmings,
yes.
Almost.
I really love those kinds of games.
It looks really, really clever.
If you want to get an idea of how it plays, Markiplier's done like 20 episodes playing it, but it's
in pre-release at the moment.
Yes, yeah, early access.
It's
basically a guy spawns. You tell him to do stuff. You have him build like getting resources from you, but you can't control how often the people spawn. So you have to keep your resources up with your constantly flooding in.
It actually looks really, really clever.
Yeah,
and again, I think that the closest comparison is Fallout Shelter.
Yes, up next. We don't actually have this exact date. We just know it's coming out in May. We got Darkwood coming to the Switch. It's a top-down survival horror game set originally. It was actually originally released last year. Now it's coming to the Switch. I don't like top-down horror myself.
Yeah,
I feel like it takes a lot of the horror elements away. Like you can do it right. Like those old RPG horror games, those are actually pretty decent.
Yeah,
a lot of top-down horror.
First Legacy of Kain, a top-down.
The very, very first Blood Omen was a top-down.
That's what I thought. Yeah,
but it wasn't a horror game. No. It was just a game that had vampires and werewolves
adventure.
And stuff.
Yeah,
Vae Victus. All right, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's gonna do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of episodes, podcasts, and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And, of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.